Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeps as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And a happy Monday to each and every one of you on this March 5th, 2012. It is Monday, the beginning of your week. Welcome to your week. You've already had most of your day to enjoy it. You've pretty much filled it all out, so you know what the deal is. Where are we today? Well, the only place that we can be today. I am at a state of sadness. And why am I sad? I'm sad when you watch a man cave. And I know that's the word going around in liberal media. It's on the Huffington Post. They said it best. Rush caves. And sponsors are leaving him in droves, as they're saying. But I haven't seen who these people are, these droves, as they put them. JC, maybe you could look that up for me, man. You could, while I do the monologue, if you can check Drudge Report and find out who these sponsors are who left. Who left Rush Limbaugh in droves. It is the big story today. It's been all over. It's dying down a little bit. But this morning, it caught a fever pitch. In particular, because of The View today, the television show, Barbara Walters, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Sherry Shepherd, Joy Behar, Whoopi Goldberg. Notice how I went from right to left on that. I had whole cast. Miss Sandra Fluck was on The View today, gave an exclusive interview. We'll play the audio. But as the liberal media is playing it, Rush Limbaugh caves. He caved to everybody, as they say. He just caved in. You have to wonder, why would a man do that? Well, I understand it's a business decision. I'm not going in any direction saying, oh, you know, he should have just stuck to his guns. We know that it was a business decision. It can hurt you. You know, they'll leave until it's over, and then they'll come back later on, and then Rush will happily accept them back into the fold. Yeah, we all know how it works out. This happens all the time. We've seen this happen to many other television and radio commentators. But I don't know. I listened to Rush's apology. I read it first. Then I listened to it today. I had a bittersweet feeling about it because I said, okay, fine. It's a great job by him to apologize in a way that he did. I can get it. I love the way he kind of threw it back at the sponsors because the sponsors do have to understand that this is about the audience. And Rush Limbaugh's audience, they're not running. 15, 25 listeners, they're not running. So when you decide to leave his program, in essence, as Rush put it, you're leaving the customers. You're not leaving Rush. You're leaving the audience. Rush put it like this. He just pretty much said, and I paraphrase, because I'm not going to play his whole show, but I'll paraphrase what he says is, look, they no longer want to do business with you. They're not doing business with Rush. They're doing business with an audience. Rush has the audience. They funnel their info through his show. It reaches the audience. Now, if the audience was leaving in droves and they said, if it was Rush Limbaugh's audience, they said, hey, listen, we don't like Rush anymore. You better pull your advertising. That would make sense to me, but that's not what's being said. Rush Limbaugh's audience remains. The customer can no longer do business with his sponsors because they pulled their ads. And that makes honest to goodness sense. That makes sense to me. And Rush eloquently placed that, put that on the advertiser. You no longer want to do business with the audience. You're not selling your products to Rush Limbaugh. You're just selling them on his show. His audience remains. His audience didn't back down. They didn't run off. They remain. So the advertisers no longer want to sell to Rush Limbaugh's audience. Let's forget about the fact that his audience has a considerable amount of income. His income margin, as far as his listeners are concerned, are high. He's not on some jigaboo network. He's not on a Jammin' or a Hot or a Power Station. He's on talk radio. It's one of the highest rated shows. And that's because his audience tunes in. But this is the reason why I don't like the caving of Rush Limbaugh. But let's start from the beginning. Let's start to where all of this sort of took an uprising. ABC.
For 2 days, Rush Limbaugh has eviscerated Sandra Fluke on the radio.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Fluke, a third-year law student at Georgetown, is now the flashpoint in a debate about whether employers should be required to fully cover contraception, even if they have religious objections. Fluke had been prevented from testifying by Republican Congressman Daryl Issa at this congressional hearing in mid-February. Two congresswomen even walked out of the hearing after only men testified. But last week, Fluke was back before Congress, this time speaking at an unofficial hearing held by Democrats.
Without insurance coverage, contraception, as you know, can cost a woman over $3,000 during law school. For a lot of students who, like me, are on public interest scholarships, that's practically an entire summer's salary.
Those comments set off the talk radio giant on Wednesday.
She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps.
And again on Thursday.
If we're going to have to pay for this, then we want something in return, Ms. Fluke, and that would be the videos of all this sex posted online so we can see what we are getting for our money.
Overnight, Fluke responded on MSNBC.
I guess my reaction is the reaction that a lot of women have when they've been called these names. Initially, you're stunned, but then very quickly, you're outraged because this is historically the kind of language that is used to silence women.
So that's pretty much the gist of it, where all of the firestorm took place last week. So then Rush Limbaugh, he apologizes.
I've always tried to maintain a very high degree of integrity and independence on this program. Nevertheless, those two words were inappropriate. They were uncalled for. They distracted from the point that I was actually trying to make. And I again sincerely apologize to Ms. Fluke for using those two words to describe her. I do not think she is either of those two words.
Yeah, so that's what it is that he ended up saying. And no one, as far as I'm concerned, an educated person, knows that he wasn't trying to say that at all. He wasn't trying to say she was a slut or a prostitute, but in essence, in the interest of satire, as Rush Limbaugh put it, you kind of have to go there. She claims that contraception, birth control, condoms, the fact that she has to pay all this money for it, she says that this is a public health issue. But the only issue that contraception addresses is pregnancy. That's what contraception's for. Birth control pill. Condom. IUD. The sponge. They're not using that anymore, are they? Whatever. Point is, that's what it's there to prevent. I don't know anybody who's taking the pill to cure some disease, to cure an ailment. It's a preventive measure. So if a woman is sitting there in a congressional hearing arguing that she wants public people to pay for her contraception to prevent her having unwanted pregnancy, means in essence that we are paying for her. Yeah, that's it, to have sex. She can have sex as much as she wants, and we pay for her. We're going to make sure that you don't get pregnant. That's my job now. That's your job now as a taxpayer. It's your job. We don't want Sandra Fluck to get pregnant. So I'm going to make my contribution now to make sure that she doesn't get her birth control. But she is making this all about other public health issues. So let me give you a little bit of what happened on The View today. She was a surprise guest, an exclusive guest, on The View this morning. And this is how that went down.
The woman at the center of a firestorm of controversy is a View exclusive right now. On February 23rd, 30-year-old Georgetown University law student Sandra Fluke testified before Congress that the president's health care bill must include coverage of contraceptives, saying that the out-of-pocket cost is too big a financial burden for female students, and she was speaking about her own college. And last Wednesday, radio host Rush Limbaugh lashed out at her in, well, take a look at what he said.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex, she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps.
So what you were talking about was the fact that your own university does not include this in the health insurance, right?
Yes, I was sharing stories of women who attend my university who've been unable to access contraception as a result of the lack of insurance coverage and the types of dire medical consequences that they've suffered as a result of that. One woman lost an ovary, things like that.
Yeah. You're advocating for women.
Yes.
Sandra, when you first heard this, what did you think? Can I call you Sandra, first of all?
You may, thank you. Well, initially I was, of course, shocked and stunned. I think any woman who has ever been called these types of names is at first. But then I tried to see this for what it is. And I believe that what it is an attempt to silence me, to silence the millions of women and the men who support them who have been speaking out about this issue and conveying that contraception is an important health care need that they need to have met in an affordable, accessible way.
You know, he has, as you know, has since issued an apology to you. Mm-hmm. Hasn't called you, but
no.
Okay. So
he has not called you.
No, and let me be clear that I think his statements that he made on the air about me have been personal enough, so I'd rather not have a personal phone call from him.
And mention this because President Obama did call. He has apologized, and I have been asked to read a statement, which he didn't give to us, but which he gave in general. For over 20 years, I've illustrated the absurd with absurdity 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. In this instant, I chose the wrong words in my analogy of the situation. I did not mean a personal attack on Ms. Flook. I think it is absolutely absurd that during these very serious political times, we are discussing personal sexual recreational activities before members of Congress. My choice of words was not the best, and in the attempt to be humorous, I created a national stir. I sincerely apologize to Ms. Flip for the insulting word choices. Do you accept his apology?
Well, let me just say this, and I encourage everyone to look at the statement in its entirety online, but what I have to say is that I don't think that a statement like this, issued saying that his choice of words was not the best, changes anything. And especially when that statement is issued when he's under significant pressure from his sponsors who have begun to pull their support from the show.
Do you think he should be fired?
I'm going to leave that up to the sponsors, up to Clear Channel Communications, and to the members of the American public who support those companies. And what I'll just say is that Americans have a long tradition of supporting companies that share the values that they have, and I'm sure that they will continue to uphold that tradition.
What exactly did the president say to you, if you don't mind me asking? Because I think it's incredible that he extended.
Yeah. Yes, it was very kind, and I came away with it from it thinking he was just such a kind man. He offered his concern, wanted to make sure that I was doing all right, and wanted to express his support and thank me for speaking out on what he considers to be an important matter of public policy and what I think millions of American women know is an important matter of
public policy. Your school, though, has not changed its policy in spite of your testimony.
It has not, but they did issue a statement in support of me regarding this type of problematic rhetoric, and I appreciated that very much.
What do you think, though, would you be paying someone to have sex when he's on Viagra, which I know he is, he was caught at the airport with someone else's prescription of Viagra. Isn't that the same thing for him? I mean, the hypocrisy is incredible also, on top of everything else. But you have said that other people have made derogatory statements about you also. You want to name some names?
Well, I would encourage everyone to go to Media Matters because they have an excellent story on their website that gives a list of the various commentators who engaged in this type of language. Glenn Beck, for one.
Yeah.
And I think it is really important for us all to understand that this was not one person who went crazy and made funny, outrageous statements. This is evidently a segment of our political commentators who think that it's acceptable in today's society to say these things about women.
Do you take the stance on this? Because this happens. I don't listen to Rush. When I hear this, is really the first time I actually heard him say that. It's repulsive. Do you feel the same about the commentators that we mentioned earlier on the show who are in the same way attacking women all the time with their misogynistic remarks?
I think it's unacceptable no matter who's saying it and no matter what side of the issue they're on. But I do think that we have to be nuanced. And being nuanced is not inaccurate. It's more accurate. Because I think, Whoopi, I heard what you were saying at the beginning, and I think you're doing a disservice by comparing yourself. Because this was not someone who made one accidental statement. This was 3 days of significant portions of his three-hour show. Mm-hmm. He insulted me and the women of Georgetown, who have received no apology. He insulted us over 53 times.
Sandra, before we go, I want to ask you, because there's a lot of people who say they don't think that birth control should be covered under health care, especially with universities as well. What would you say to these people?
Well, I want to correct a misperception, which Mr. Limbaugh and a lot of other commentators have been putting out there to confuse the public. The idea that this is about taxpayers or the government paying for contraception, and it is absolutely not. This regulation covers private insurance, and it wants to have this type of medical drug treated in a way that...
Okay, blah, 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 blah. I had to play the long version of that because it was blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is this. First of all, this liberal hack told people to go to Media Matters, which is a George Soros-funded entity. And you all know this. That lunatic who wants to legalize heroin. And this broad is over there hacking George Soros. George Soros-funded Media Matters. Media Matters, if you go to their website, they're just who are quote-unquote allegedly bashing women, everybody they mentioned was conservative. They don't mention Chris Matthews. They don't mention Ed Schultz. They don't mention guys like Bill Maher. Bill Maher, who called Sarah Palin a C-word, the C-word, and then defended it the other day, saying that he can use the C-word when talking about Sarah Palin because he doesn't have sponsors, because he's on HBO. So the bottom line is this, is Sandra Fluck is a hack. She is a political activist who is now being used as a pawn by the Obama administration in making this issue about conservatives versus women. Jason, did you want
to
say
something? You just took the words out of my mouth. That was Obama's attempt to put the nail in Limbaugh's coffin.
It totally was.
He drove a nail into the political coffin of conservative radio, period.
And the only thing that they are doing is they are making this an issue. They can't just use class warfare because that's starting to look ridiculous. Now it's about men versus women. Now this is about Rush Limbaugh speaking for men who are troglodytes, who are Neanderthals, against this poor, defenseless woman, this private citizen, being called a slut and a prostitute. And she wasn't called that. The question was raised. Now, I've had this ordeal before. Let me digress. Let me go back to my WRKO days. I was on WRKO, and producer, Mr. Bill Cooksey, they had done a story about me, and they were alleging in the story something about me. No truth to the story, they were just alleging. And they felt as though they had the right to allege what they wanted to allege. They didn't have to have any background. It was a story about a quote-unquote fight that I was supposed to have had with another sports radio host. They didn't have any information. They had no background. But they printed a story that said that I got into a fight with this sportscaster named Mikey. You could look it up. The story's out there. So I went on the air I'm almost certain it was July 4th. It was one of the holidays. It's one of the holidays. It was Memorial Day, one of the days. I worked on that day. But we went out, and the two reporters were these two women who do a gossip column at the Boston Herald, Gail and somebody else. And so in talking about the story, Cooksey and I were having an exchange on the air, and I said, hey, if that's the case, we can go around saying stuff about people and have no evidence to back it up. All we have to do is not allege. Yeah, we can allege, or we can assume that these people are something. And so Bill Cooksey went by and said, hey, I could just go out there and just say, hey, aren't those two lesbians? And an email came into my program director a day later asking whether or not they were going to denounce my comment on the air about the two gossip columnists being lesbians. So my program director went and listened to the tape and clearly heard us ask the question, hey, aren't they lesbians? Not that they are. Said in the grand scheme, we can say, aren't they? We're just asking a question. Aren't they lesbians? And I responded, I don't know. They could be. Well, what's wrong with us saying that? They can say that I had a fight with somebody without any information and print it in a newspaper. I can't allege that they're lesbians because they're buddy-buddy. You should denounce them, the reporter wrote. Why? So Rush Limbaugh, who clearly says, What does that say? Doesn't that make her a slut? It's a question. Doesn't that make her a prostitute? I think it was a fair question.
Is that what he said, though?
You want to hear the audio yourself?
Didn't he say?
Go ahead, out.
For 2 days, Rush Limbaugh has eviscerated Sandra Fluke on the radio.
What does it say? About the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex. What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right?
That's the question. Is that not a question?
Yeah.
All right, it was a question. So he's not allowed to ask?
I didn't say that he wasn't.
Okay, so no, it's not even calling her. See, I understand that Rush is saying, okay, look, I have to apologize. Maybe that was a little out of line. But it's fair for me to ask the question.
The only reason Rush is apologizing is so that he doesn't lose his sponsor. Rush is not apologizing because he feels like it was out of line. He feels it was perfectly in line. But he cannot afford to lose his sponsors. So therefore, he had to apologize.
Who, by the way, are numbering in many.
Do you have a list of the sponsors who are leaving?
So far, he's up to 12.
Wow.
Okay, you know what? That's you know what? For some people, significant number. For Rush, I don't think so. Who do you got?
Well,
I heard AOL left.
Yeah, AOL was the last one to leave. AOL. Sleepy Train Mattresses.
Sleepy who?
Sleepy Train Mattresses. It's a West Coast outfit.
Okay. Who else?
Sleep Number. Quicken Loans.
Quicken Loans.
Citrix.
Not familiar with that.
Sleep Number Pro Flowers, which is huge.
Yeah, Pro Flowers.
International. Carbonite.
Carbonite AOL. Left.
Yep. LegalZoom. And Cleveland Cavaliers.
The Cavaliers left them?
Yeah.
And they're a basketball outfit. I can understand that.
Well, no, because they took it off of his flagship station, WTAM, in Cleveland.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Go on. Who else?
Tax Resolution Services.
I know them.
Talking Point Memo.
Talking Point Memo?
Yep, Sears and Kmart. And I think that's it for now.
Okay.
No, all right. I'm sorry, Allstate.
Yeah, I did hear Allstate left as well. Allstate, so, yeah. Okay, so a lot of them are significant. A lot of them are significant. Carbonite out.
Significant.
I'm surprised Carbonite left. Carbonite was big on his show.
Yeah.
Carbonite
was nope.
Big sponsor.
Yeah.
So what do you think so far? I mean, I played pretty much part of the apology. What do you think of the apology overall, JC?
I don't think he should have apologized. He phrased it in the form of a question. It was taken out of context.
So do I. I couldn't agree more. I think it was taken out of context as well. But you know what? You know, what are you going to do? So he's apologized. I don't know whether or not sponsors are going to come back. I believe they'll come back after all of this.
In due time.
I think
when the dust settles.
Yeah, the dust is going to settle unless they're going to. But see, here's the part that I don't like about this, is that members of the Democratic Party are using this to raise money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're using this to raise money.
You have to explain that one to me.
Well, they're raising money for Democratic outfits. Like, you know, in other words, to raise money for the Democratic Party. In other words, money is going to be going to the Democratic National Committee. And using people, hey, if you're outraged pretty much about the Rush Limbaugh comments and conservatives who say this about women, to use this to rally support for Barack Obama. Which is, again, in and of itself, is another joke. It's a complete joke because then you make the issue about something else and you're distracting from everything else. Forget about Obama's record. Forget about the fact that – and this whole argument, and this is where I am so angered by this, is that the argument still remains. Obamacare is mandating that Catholic organizations – pay for contraception. That is what the issue is. This is what they're calling a distraction that is going to change the whole issue for people. They're not going to know what this is about. And while the Obama administration gets to slither behind it and undermine the entire issue and get this mandate passed. And so anybody who ever brings it up, they'll be able to throw these comments by Rush Limbaugh into the fold. Which is a joke. and remains a joke. Anyway, we'll come back because I got one more piece of evidence on why the Obama administration is a complete hypocrite on the issue. Now, remember, this is a woman. Rush Limbaugh makes the comments about whether or not she's a slut and a prostitute. Barack Obama calls this woman, tells her that he's very happy that she came forward and talked about a public issue. This is supposed to be men who were Neanderthals against women. But when you hear what Barack Obama and the Obama administration did today, that is a complete slap in the face to women. And no one's reporting it. No one's reporting it. You tell me whether or not this is extreme hypocrisy on the Obama administration. And trust me when I tell you, and it's so hilarious. It's so hilarious. When you hear it yourself, you'll go, there's no way this is possible while all this is going on and nobody gravitated to it. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are back live on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 347-308-8701. 36 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Don't forget to log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com on any chance you feel like it or any time you feel like it. You know, somebody just mentioned something on Facebook which I thought was incredible, and I have to make sure that I get the quote exactly. This from a guy named Matt. He says, Limbaugh's comments were harsh and irresponsible. He apologized. Does anyone remember Obama calling to console Laura Ingram when Ed Schultz called her a slut? Or calling Sarah Palin when Bill Maher called her the C word and the T word? Says, me neither. Another word for the C word. Yes, that word. Yes. It starts with a T and with a T.
Did you call her a T-face?
No. No. But there's... But he called her a C and a T. The point is that... No, he just called her in two separate instances. But the bottom line is that nobody called to apologize. Obama never called to apologize to them or to console them. You know, when Ed Schultz said that on his radio show. No, it's not even so much. So what? It wasn't about campaign time.
No, but this is about campaign time.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right about that. You're probably right about that. No, you're probably right about that. So as we said during this whole debate, you know, Barack Obama is clearly, according to the media, Obama, and just like Sandra Fluck said in her interview with The View, she said that she saw Barack Obama as a gentleman who was concerned and wanted to make sure that, you know, I was okay about, you know, what had happened, and he wanted to commend me for what it is that I was doing. Anybody?
It's funny how that makes people feel so good. He's a man. He puts his pants on the same way the rest of us do.
She's creating a narrative. Well, that being said, Barnard College is an all-women's college. It's an all-women's college. And it's in New York City. And according to reports, Barnard College already had a commencement speaker. And who they had as a commencement speaker this year was New York Times executive editor Jill Abramson. But she's been bumped. Now, this is the first female executive editor of the New York Times who's going to speak at Barnard College at the commencement for the graduates at graduation. But guess who had her bumped? The Obama administration. That's right. Barnard College in New York City tossed aside the prominent female executive and it had scheduled for the commencement speech when the White House offered Barack Obama instead. The college was happy to replace the New York Times executive editor, Jill Abramson, with the president. who will also receive the school's highest honor, the Barnard Medal of Distinction, at the ceremony. Before this speaker switch, Barnard President Deborah Spahr had told students that she was certain that graduates would be energized by Abrams' words and personal story. It's a woman speaking to women, to women. The White House's offer appears to be part of a campaign to increase appeal with the president's female voters, which, by the way, he's losing. The administration has been under fire for the controversial attempt to force organizations with religious affiliation to cover contraception services, even if the practice is against the organization's religious beliefs. Meanwhile, students at Columbia University, who had organized a year-long campaign to have the president speak at their commencement, expressed outrage. Columbia is the president's alma mater, and it's also Barnard's parent university. Columbia students expressed their chagrin, sometimes strongly, though several online through online media venues. The students were quick to point out that that women also attend Columbia. Abramson would have been the fourth consecutive woman commencement speaker at the all-women Barnard. The three previous speakers were Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, actress Meryl Streep, and Facebook executive Sheryl Sandberg. So in all of this, women. I love women, care about women, care about women's issues. Women's contraception. Got to do things for women. Women. Jill, do me a favor. Listen, you want to take a back seat for a second so the president can speak? Where's the outrage?
Well, there's outrage about Columbia.
Apparently Columbia University is saying, hey, why don't you speak here? You know, we got women here at Columbia too. But again, nothing.
I can't wait to hear what he speaks about.
What do you think he's going to talk about?
I know what he's going to talk about, but I can't wait to hear it myself. Maybe he'll think for them too.
This is absolutely ridiculous. So in order to force the issue,
he's going to campaign.
Yeah, what's that?
He's going to campaign.
I believe, bottom line, it's this. It's hypocrisy, ladies and gentlemen. It's that simple. It's hypocrisy. How do you kick out Jill Abramson, the senior editor of the New York Times, speaking at a women's college,
all ready to tell her story.
She's clearly been contacted to do so, and you kick her out. Kool-Aid Man is in the house.
Hey, hey, hey.
Kool-Aid Man, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Monday.
So come on, give me some insight.
Well, congrats. Insight. All right, here's some insight here. First, let's get back to the Sarah Fluke thing.
Yeah.
All right, and as you said, he was asking a question. We've had this kind of conversation before, and I've said before that there's a difference between asking a question and looking for affirmation. All right? This is a question. So, do you think it makes her look like a slut if she wants to be paid for contraceptives? All right? Affirmation. She's a slut, right?
No. He said that makes her a slut, right?
Right? Again. He's already making the assumption, and he's looking for affirmation.
It's a rhetorical affirmation, though, Jay.
It is not a rhetorical. He's on air asking, okay, looking for that information, looking for that affirmation from his viewers. So how is it rhetorical?
Sure, it's rhetorical, James, because first of all, he doesn't have a person on the line when he says it. He's coming back from a break, and he brings up this. You've done radio with me, you know how he does. The music's playing in the background. He's playing Sledgehammer in the background. He's coming from a break. It's a bumper playing in the background, and he asks the question. She wants people to pay for a contraception. She wants to be paid to have sex. What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? And in essence, sure, he's looking for affirmation, but it's a question. He didn't say. She must be a slut. She's a slut in my book. That's not what he said.
Actually, he did. It makes her a slut, right? See, he's already making his stance. He's already making his stance, and he's looking for other people to agree with what he already thinks about.
Well, let me ask you this, James. Okay, fine. So it's obvious where you stand on the Rush Limbaugh comment, okay? Look, look. I'm not going to dispute whether or not referring to her as a slut, asking the question whether or not she was a slut, was harsh. I don't personally care. I think that he can say whatever the hell he wants to say.
I find hilarious that everybody keeps talking about this word slut. What about the fact that he called her a prostitute?
He said he didn't call her a prostitute. He said it makes her a prostitute.
Okay, it makes her a prostitute. I mean, I think I'd be more worried about somebody calling me a prostitute than a slut.
Yeah, I know. You were very vocal, Mary, in the beginning that you didn't like his comments when we first reported this. You didn't like it at all. And you said, wow, that was pretty harsh. Go ahead, James.
The thing about the whole prostitute issue is, you know what, it's more acceptable to be a prostitute because at least you're getting paid. You're actually coming across as a businesswoman. If you're a slut, you're just giving it away for free.
Yeah, well, I have to.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Can I take my text message back?
I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to say to James, you know what? You know, that's the one thing that people refuse to do, James, and I appreciate you for doing this. Is that it is not often enough where people break down the demographics of slut versus prostitute. And I thank you so for. Yeah, thank you for so eloquently doing that. I've done it before, but I think you've actually sealed the deal on any other further definition. But the bottom line is, okay, so what do you think about, remember, now the White House, and when I say the White House, I'm not just pinning it on Barack Obama, I'm saying the White House, his staff, the administration. Here it is, they're taking this opportunity, they've obviously got some momentum going on with this Sondra Fluke versus Rush Limbaugh thing. Isn't it a little hypocritical for them to bump off the commencement speaker who's a woman, an accomplished woman at an all-woman college, to then move in on her and then take over Barnard's commencement address?
I think it's trying to win. It's being a politician, being a politician. This is nothing new.
Okay, so forget about it being nothing new. I'm asking about this in essence. Don't you think it's a little hypocritical? Why would you bump off Jill Abramson, who's clearly already been marked? You know, she's already confirmed. Hey, Jill, you're going to speak at the commencement? Oh, can't wait to be there. Got some great stories to tell the young women forging forward in this new world and how to combat sexism and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden the president calls in a man. Calls in and says, hey, I'd like to give a commencement speech at an all-girls school because I really, really like, you know, this would be a great opportunity for me to reach women. And they say, yeah, we'll bump the woman. In essence, remember, everything that Barnard stands for is the advancement of women in the what they consider the uneven playing field there is with men. Within, you know, captains of industry they are, and how women are always pushed aside or always left asunder. And here a man walks in and says, hey, kick out the woman. And they do it?
Well, frankly, they knew as well the prestige and the influence, okay? Look, yeah,
prestige,
we have our issues. We think we're not being taken seriously. We think we're not being taken seriously. We get the President of the United States of America to come and listen to us.
James,
who's not going to jump on that?
No one is even taking Barack Obama seriously. He's not even taking himself seriously. So quite frankly, they should have asked any other man to come speak.
Yeah, why would they? I mean, I'm saying, remember, if Barnard is an all-girls school and what they do on that campus is advance women's needs, women's plight, to become just as equal to men. And
they have to do so in a man's world. So what better way than to get the top man in the United States of America to come and be...
But they didn't seek him out, James. They didn't seek him out. He called them. He sought out Barnard. And they kicked off the... In other words, he calls up and says, hey... you know, Barnard is one of the most successful female colleges around. You guys are kind of an Ivy League school. The president would like to come and speak to the women, you know, about women's issues. And they don't even say, well, you know, unfortunately, White House, we've actually already scheduled a commencement speaker.
Who's going to do that, Reese?
But what
no
would be wrong with it? What would be wrong with saying, unfortunately, Mr. President, unfortunately, Mr. President, we've already got someone scheduled to speak. And then instead they turn around and they go, President of the United States? Hey, and you, I mean, I want to know what the phone call went like. Jill, listen, hey, I know we're all scheduled for you and you're probably writing your speech, but, you know, the president, yeah, the president is, he wants to come and speak at the college. Can we do you next year? I mean, come on. And the woman goes, and Jill Abramson probably goes, oh, sure, no problems. The president of the United States,
yeah. Well,
I can understand.
Well,
but at the same time, calling themselves, you know, fighting for women's issues.
Well, I still say you take the opportunity to put those issues in front of the top man.
Yeah,
you don't turn that down.
The top man.
Yeah.
I mean, James, realistically, the top man for the time being, because we haven't had the election yet.
Well, he is still the president of the United States of America.
And I'm sure that any issues that they may have, he doesn't have enough time to get them done by election time.
But we
Especially coming off a commencement.
Right, and we shouldn't be using, the president shouldn't be using a commencement speech to campaign, as a platform to campaign. I mean, come on, isn't this all...
Every time a president goes anywhere, anytime a senator goes anywhere, it's a instance to campaign. You don't remain president. You don't remain a senator. You don't remain congressman without getting out there and campaigning every day. Otherwise, you get forgotten. And then sooner or later, you're not congressman anymore. You're not senator anymore. You're not president anymore. Please.
Basically, what you're saying is once you get into one of those positions, that is what you live, eat, and breathe.
It's what you live, eat, and breathe even before you get into the position. You live it, you ate it, you breathe it to get there. You eat, live, and breathe.
Well, okay, so James, if I get you correctly, that a move like this, you're okay by it because, you know, of course, it's propaganda. I mean, it's propaganda in a lot of ways. In other words, you know that this is doing nothing. This is nothing more than an opportunity to spotlight himself in front of women, speaking at a women's college. You know, it's sort of it's cherry picking a platform and using it to his advantage. And you're okay
who
with
doesn't?
That because
who doesn't cherry pick their platforms?
Okay, all right, okay.
Name
all
one
right.
person who doesn't.
James,
man, that's true. It's all love and fair. All love and fair and war.
All's fair in love and war. Okay, I'm not going to dispute it. I'm not going to dispute it. If you guys are okay with it, I guess that's fine. I'm not, but
I mean, to me, it does seem a little hypocritical. But on the same token,
says the man who cherry picks his platforms.
Yeah, but it seems a little bit hypocritical. But on the same token, it's what politicians do, and he is a politician first.
All right. So you don't think? Okay, but it's not hypocritical that he's using. He's bashing us Limbaugh and bad people who think against Sandra Fluck, but he would put...
I haven't heard him say... When has he said anything? When has he said anything? All we've heard is from Sandra Fluck saying that she received a phone call? Was that it?
Other than that,
he was talking to her. I haven't seen him gone publicly anywhere.
The White House press secretary said that he called her.
Said that he called her.
Yes, said that Barack Obama called her.
Right, her. He hasn't gone anywhere else in public. He hasn't gone out in public at all. So where is this campaigning? He called her.
Of course.
The person directly involved.
Of course he's campaigning. Of course he's campaigning. He's using her as a launch pad.
Is he? Where is the proof of that? How are you basing that?
She was on
because
her
I don't know. Were you there for the conversation? Has he said anything else since?
James, let me interject. Oh.
The proof is in the pudding, my man. It is right in your face. Wait, let me finish. He called her. He heard about what happened with Rush Limbaugh, and he said, oh, crap.
Yeah, he said, apologize for the words being said about you. And Carney says it himself.
And again, I'm so glad that you were the fly on the wall, and you can tell me the whole conversation. Now who's choosing a narrative?
Hold on.
Now he's proponing
the president called Georgetown University law student. The president called Georgetown University law student Sandra Fluck, I think is actually how you pronounce it, because he wanted to offer his support to her. He wanted to express his disappointment that she has been the subject of inappropriate personal attacks and to thank her for exercising her rights as a citizen to speak out on an issue of public policy. And it was a very good conversation.
Is that all you can tell us about the conversation?
Well, I mean, I think so. It wasn't, you know, it was several minutes. They had a very good conversation. I think he, like a lot of people, feels that the kinds of personal attacks that she's that have been directed her way are inappropriate. It's the fact that our political discourse has become debased in many ways is bad enough. It is worse when it's directed at a private citizen who was simply expressing her views on a matter of public policy.
Is it appropriate for Democratic organizations to try to raise money off of this attack on her?
I think that I'll leave that to whatever organizations might agree with her or sympathize with her. The fact of the matter is the president was expressing his support for her and his disappointment in the kind of attacks that have been leveled at her, to her, and his appreciation for her willingness to, sort of stand tall and express her opinion.
Okay, so there it is. He's clearly saying that the president is saying that, look, he's showing his support for Sandra Fluck. He's showing his support. That's Jim Carney, the president's mouthpiece. The press secretary. That's his mouthpiece.
Showing her support for her standing up for herself. This is what he said, right?
Yes.
How many people know that Barack Obama has called her? Wait, listen to me. How many people? Oh, look, Twitter followers. They're rating Lady Gaga, Barack Obama, and Team Shep. And Lady Gaga wins at 126, and Barack Obama falls deep in second place. That is so hilarious. I'm sorry, I just saw that on the TV. Lady Gaga is outwinning Barack Obama. Let's see, why is he talking at the women's commencement speech?
Anyway.
I forgot my point.
You ought to fix the commencing military academies. That's what the president does.
Yeah. You know what? Look, let's take a break and then let's go to the top of the hour. I've got more news. I've got much in it. Trust me. There's a lot going on. Movie prices and prices are going up. We have to talk about this because it's a class action suit because of it now. We'll be right back. It's Arizona Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again.
Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America you can make it in any business. as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple hundred thousand dollars it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number's 347-308-870.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
A lot of luck we're having here on the computer. Anyway, it's Reese on the radio, just 1 minute after the hour on this March the 5th, 2012. plenty of news actually happening today. I've got some really, really interesting Breitbart news coming up later on in the show. So I want to share that with you. That's that was pretty scary. Oh, man. I mean, when I read part one of Breitbart's investigation into vetting the president of the United States, I didn't think I was going to see what I saw. And when I saw it, I was frightened. Sorry about that. Hold on. I have to tell that person I'll call them back. I apologize. Let me take this stupid phone off that. Anyway, when I saw it, let me just put it to you this way. No, it's worse than that. There's actual evidence. And when I saw the poster, I flipped out.
There's
evidence of what? That Barack Obama is a socialist. And when I say that he's a socialist who believes in socialism to the tune of Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book Rules for Radicals, and how to isolate your enemy, the banks, group. Yeah, when you, trust me, I'm going to show you the Barack Obama's name is right on it when you see it. And trust me, when I show you, you're going to be baffled. Anyway, so this is something that has been dear to my heart. And I wanted to talk about this probably because, look, I got a problem with people who have issue with the concession stands. Now, I'm a movie buff. Now, I'll admit, I haven't gone to the movies all that often in the past year. In fact, I probably went more, the most I've ever gone to the movies, I would have to say, was in the last 4 or 5 years. Went to the movies a lot back in 2006, 2007, 2008. Kids were young, you kind of see a lot of family movies and stuff like that. So I was a big movie going guy, and I had to watch a lot of corny stuff. I had to watch the Harry Potters and the Shrek 1 and 2s and all that other stuff. Whatever, but I saw those films, I saw a lot of Adam Sandler films, but I also got to see a lot of stuff that I love, political dramas. This past year, I watched The Ides of March, I saw Bridesmaids, which I really, really loved, you just watched recently. So I was a big movie fan. Now, there's always been this argument about people who go to the movies and they hate the prices at the concession stands. Okay, they may be.
Right to get in the movie is ridiculous. I mean, listen, I remember when I was a kid, my mom would give us like $5.
We could go to the Optimo place on the corner, get a bunch of candy and a paper bag, take it with us, go to the movies, watch a movie, come out of the movie, go to White Castles on Parsons Boulevard, get White Castles, and go home.
But those days are over, Mary. But those days are over. Those days are not, not existent. Wait until they come out on DVD then.
Yeah, but they come out on DVD so fast.
That's right. Just wait. If you can't afford to go to the theater, stay the hell out.
It's not even the fact that you can't afford Reese. The point is that it is ridiculous. Listen, I can sit at home and have a beer and watch whatever I want.
Look, I am poor and broke. Look, I am poor and broke, and I still say if you can't afford to go, don't go. I can't afford to go, so I don't go.
It's not that I can't afford to go.
Okay,
that's
so if you can,
this is my issue.
Let me just finish my point, then you can make all your argument you want.
Okay.
Point of the matter is that now in Michigan, there's a class action suit against a movie theater, an AMC movie theater, because the price of popcorn and some goobers is $11. And they believe that there's price gouging.
Combined?
Yeah, combined.
Okay, so
popcorn and some goobers, and it ran $11.
I don't
know. They didn't even. They don't even say what the size is. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is that there is, there's an argument about how much it is that a person should pay. Okay. Anyway, this person says that he hates the prices at the theaters, and he says the charge at concession stands like popcorn and candy. This week, a 20-something security technician from Livonia decided to do something about it. He's filed a class action suit in Wayne County Circuit Court against the local AMC theater in hopes of forcing the theaters statewide to dial down their prices. He got tired of being taken advantage of, says his lawyer. It's hard to justify the prices that are 3 and 4 times higher than anywhere else. The American Multi Cinema, which is AMC, which operates the theaters in Livonia, wouldn't comment on the suit. A staffer at the National Association for Theater Owners in Washington, D.C., angrily hung up the phone when asked about the industry snack pricing practices. Although consumer experts predicted that the case will be dismissed, it struck a chord on Friday with area moviegoers who said that they're tired of being soaked on movie munchies. Now, another thing that's happening is that this security guy, says that he used to bring his snacks from down the block. He'd go to a local pharmacy, he'd bring his candies from there and buy a soda, and it cost him... Yeah, exactly. But the theater has banned that now. So you can't do it. You buy it here. Can't bring it outdoors. Can't do it.
But you never can bring it from outdoors.
Yeah, of course you never ever could, but now it's being so banned that you're being stopped at the door. So here's... Let me give... They're not frisking you if they see that you can't be walking in there with a big giant shopping bag. Bottom line is that, look, my argument is this. I don't care what they charge. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. It's nothing mandated that you have to have goobers at the movie. Eat before you come.
So,
that's why I go to the drive-in.
Shut up.
I ride up in the drive-in with a bucket of Popeye's.
They still have drive-ins?
Yeah, they still have drive-ins.
They have a drive-in. Wow. Well, I know they had a drive-in in Long Island. I don't know if they still have it.
Yeah, they still have drive-ins.
We've got a couple here in Connecticut.
New York, I've been. It's pretty nice, but whatever.
What's your point?
My point is that the AMC theaters and whoever else needs to start having some type of competition with Netflix. It's so easy to sit at home and wait for a movie to come.
This is the competition, raising the price. If you can't afford it, don't eat it. It's that simple. Guys, come on. James, come on.
I think it's the epitome of price. It is price gouging. Come on, Reese. You go to your local dollar store and you get the same size candy in the same box.
James,
for three times as much.
James, nobody is dragging you to the movie theater. Nobody
no
is saying. No one's dragging you to the movie theater, James. That is a private business. You walk in there. Well, no, that is exactly the point. No, no. Why do you have to see the movie?
Well, check this out. I don't have to go.
Then don't go.
That's it.
Well, once again, if I am going to be going to your establishment,
wait.
To your establishment, and I'm going to take my hard-earned money and give it to you. You know, especially since, first and foremost, nowadays with everything being 3D, it's almost $20 just for one ticket.
So don't go.
You
don't have to.
But if I'm going to do that, please do it. I mean, the least you could do is not soak me on food.
James, I don't owe you squat. If you come to my movie theater, I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing.
Well, I'll tell you this much. This weekend, I sat down and enjoyed Jamaican beef patties with my grandson, and I watched The Lorax in my bedroom.
Yeah, you watched it in your bedroom. Here's my point.
But you had to download that illegally.
I don't know nothing about a download.
I don't know nothing about what you're talking about, Dave.
I know nothing about a download.
We're going to have to edit that out of the program.
He watched it in his own bedroom, unless his bedroom was overlooking the movie theater, and there's a big hole in the ceiling.
I used to when I was a kid.
There's no way.
James, here's my point. See, you're forgetting the whole thing. This is a private business. If I owned a multiplex, you have to drive to my multiplex, buy a ticket, buy the munchies, and sit in my theater. Only thing I'm providing you with is a venue to watch the movie. If you don't want to pay these prices, if you don't like my prices, don't come if you can't afford it. You can't walk into my establishment and demand that I make the prices to your liking. This isn't a museum where you say, look, the suggested rate to come into my theater is $250. I can't suggest. No, this isn't a museum. This isn't a museum of natural history. This is a movie theater where I make money. So you have to pay your $12. And hold on. And they do you one better. Most places, and not all, because I know they don't do it in Manhattan, but most places around the country have matinees. You can come in early on a Sunday, get your ass up and watch the noon till 3 o'clock film. It'll cost you half price. You can come here and sit down with the gray old ladies and watch the movies if you want to.
And that's why in about 5 to 10 years, your multiplex with your four cinemas, the walls are going to be knocked out in between them, and they're going to turn into somebody's nice little Walmart.
Yep.
Listen,
thank you, JT.
As an adult, I like to sit out. If I want to watch a movie, I like to sit down, have myself a little cocktail, relax. I can sit and watch it in the comfort of my own home. Why am I going to pay you to go sit in some uncomfortable cinema with a bunch of old ladies or a bunch of kids? It's just, listen, the market is making it so much easier for us to do whatever we want to do.
And that's true. You know what, Mary? You are 100% true. You understand right on that.
And if everybody feels that same way, and I just think your point, you don't have to go.
Well, here's what.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead. I really want to make my statement.
I know you do. And I really wanted to make my statement for
quite
some time.
Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
Here we go. If everybody feels the same way that I feel, if the majority feels the same way that I feel, I can do this in the comfort of my own home. I don't need to go here and pay $15 to get in, and then I got somebody with me and probably two kids or whatever. I mean, a night out at the movies for a family of four people can go up probably up to upwards of $100. To the movies?
Well, here's, if I may.
Well, not to drive in.
If I may. If I may for a minute, because I know all of you are going to scream and holler at me, but just let me finish my point. I'll make it brief and I'll be concise. I promise.
I agree with you, though, but go ahead.
Here's my deal. The reason why people are going to the theater, even though they're complaining, is because there is one thing that the home theater or your DVD player or your flat screen TV will never be able to do, and that is, it will never replace the movie-going experience. Nobody speak, just listen, please. the movie-going experience in that dark hall with that giant 10-foot screen, watching those images move across the screen. I'll say two words to the guys on this show. Two words. The Avengers. Where are you going to watch it, gentlemen? At home? Yeah. The new Avengers movie this summer. Where are you going to watch it? At home?
I'm definitely going to the theater. Yeah. I'm a theater goer myself. I agree with you. The theater experience, you can't match that at home. I will definitely go to the movies.
That's what...
Anybody look in my pocketbook for
it. Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is this. Listen, I'm not going to go to the theater to go watch The English Patient. That's playing on the flat screen. I'm not rushing to go into a dark, dark theater to go watch Gwyneth Paltrow, Susan Sarandon, Ray Fiennes.
I'm not going to the theater to watch The English Patient.
I'm not running to the theater to go watch that. But you're going to watch me just boom by, bang, 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 boom, boom, boom. And superheroes and flying through the air and Green Goblin and cramp and dudes swinging on vines and you know, damsel in distress and the supervillain and the superhero. That I'm rushing to the theater.
Really?
And I'm going to spend $1,000 there on all my friends going down to go watch that movie. James will attest, Spider-Man 3, I paid for him. I paid for the two kids. I paid for Derek. And we all went, and didn't we buy munchies?
We bought the munchies. We went and played the video games. Played the video games while we were waiting. And I remember Derek was the one who said, you know what, buy the bootleg.
he was adamant about that.
And
that's the truth. We all went down, and Derek was telling me the entire time, buy the bootleg, buy the bootleg. I'm not going to lie. I spent $150 that night on all of us to go watch that movie, and you know what? I walked out. And Spider-Man 3 sucked. It sucked.
But we had a ball.
We had a blast. Why? Because we were watching it on the big screen. And that's
why. Together.
Nothing is going to take away. What makes that movie bearable is the fact that it's on the big screen. So I'll spend any money they raise the price to if I've got to save up money to go see it. Because that's what the experience is about. It's an experience. People have been taking movies for granted. You want to know why they've been taking it for granted, James? Hold on. But let me tell you why. Let me tell you why people are angry at the prices of movie theaters today. Here's why. Because they've been wasting their movies on bullcrap films. Nobody should be rushing to the theater to go Final Destination 5. You spend your hard-earned money to go see that garbage for, okay? You should not be rushing to the theater to go see Scream 4 and then complain, I want my fight. I went and did something stupid. You remember that movie AI by Steven Spielberg and Haley Joel Osment and Jude Law?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that. I spent that. Me and my friend went to go watch that movie. We spent $50 to see that movie. I was furious when I walked out of that theater. You know what I call that movie now? Hey, I just got beat out of $20. That's what I call it. You know, I did the same thing when I went to go see J.J. Abrams directed Super 8 with Steven Spielberg at the helm again as the producer. You know what I call that movie now? Super 8. But guess how much money I spent to go see it? I spent $20 to go see Super 8 because I super hate that movie. But I don't. But here's the thing: the reason why I don't complain about the prices because it's rare. I just gave you two movies that came out 20 years apart that I hate. It's rare that I spend my money at the movie theaters to go see, you know, Police Academy 15. I'm not going to spend my money on that garbage. You know who's never seen my money? You know who's never seen my movie? But my money at a movie theater? DMX hasn't seen my money. Hey, DMX has never seen my money. A Ja Rule, 50 Cent's never seen my money at a theater. They're never going to see my money. They never going to see my money. If you got a movie and your name is a rapper of any sort or you're a garbage actor, you know who's never seen any of my money? Steven Seagal's never seen any of my money. You know, you got these morons. Jamie Foxx, he'll never get a dime of my money. I don't care. I got to watch him on... I won't even watch him on bootleg. His movie better come on an ABC or a CBS. With commercials. I'm not...
Wow.
I've ever spend to see his money, any of his movies.
Well, I know, like, much like I did last summer, this summer, I'll be making a few extra dollars with that movie. With that movie, well, not so much movie theater, but more so a drive-in theater experience. What did she say?
The Rock has never seen any of my money. What about rush out to go see Space?
Well, he's seen some of mine. I wouldn't go see his movies, but
what was that other part you came out with? The Tooth Fairy?
Yeah.
But the Avengers, I'm seeing that. The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm seeing that. By hook or by crook.
I don't know. I was kind of pissed off at the X-Men First Class. I didn't care for that.
It didn't get any of my money either.
Well, it's on Cinemax now, but I'm still a little upset with it. I wasted some valuable hard drive space with that movie.
See, JC is never ever going to the movie. But this is what I say.
Oh, no, I do. I go to the drive-in.
I go
to the drive-in.
I appreciate anybody who may be upset about the prices, but the bottom line is this. Look, I was with somebody for 10 years who used to sneak in Twizzlers and gummy worms and all that other stuff for the kids. Even went so far as to bring in Gray's Papaya hot dogs when I went to go see a Harry Potter film. And you know what I did?
You know,
I moved away from the family so I couldn't be seen with them. This is my own family.
Like you've never snuck anything in, man. Please.
I'll admit, there's one... One time. Okay, listen, you have to understand why I did it, okay? Listen to me. I will tell the truth about this.
You do know who you're trying to tell the story to.
I'm going
to
– listen, this is true. I did this. The last movie I ever snuck in food, it was a Big Mac and fries, and I snuck it in to go see The Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm embarrassed by two things. One, that I was
they
going
owed you.
Right there. That's the first and foremost thing. Second,
I know, honey.
That I brought in a Big Mac.
They owed you that. They should have paid you for that movie.
Totally should have paid
for real.
Me for that.
And what's odd is our drive-in, the one that I go to up here in Connecticut, directly across the street from the McDonald's. So you loop around the drive-thru and straight across the street into the line for the drive-in.
So they allow you to do that?
I mean, they can only want to do is count heads in the car.
Okay,
$15 a car, no matter how many people you got in there.
Anybody here, please, anybody, tell the truth, please. With a resounding yes or no, has anybody here ever ridden in a trunk sneaking into a drive-in? Yes or no?
No.
Jason.
No, but I've been a party too. I've ridden in vehicles with people in trunks.
I did it. I hid in the trunk of a car. Oh, it was a big car.
Your lanky frame. Wow. Okay.
I was a kid. It was an Electra 225.
A deuce and a quarter, huh?
I was in a deuce and a quarter. I was a
hell,
kid.
You could have took the whole classroom in that.
What's that?
You could have put a whole class over in a deuce and a quarter.
I was younger than the sixth grade. I'll tell you that. Yes, they put a child in the car. They put a child in the trunk.
Oh, we did that.
Yeah, you should. Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio, 347-308-8701. Right here on Reese on the Radio.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget.
No, he just
never voted
bubbling
to raise
a little
gun
bit.
Rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back live on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know why it is you can hear us and out of break. Whatever. A growing problem. We'll figure it out. Mary and I were actually watching something interesting. Was it yesterday, Mary, we were watching it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was yesterday. We were watching a we were online. And we were watching a show that many people are very familiar with. It's a show called What Would You Do? And John Quinones of ABC News, and he has this series. It's six. It's now in its season. He said on recent radio that this show races like no other show covers races. It's racism all the time on the radio. It's the three R's of radio. Racism, race on radio. I knew that this episode was going to be airing. So I missed it, and I went on Hulu and looked it up because I watched it. And look, let's just make one thing clear about the people over at ABC News and shows like this. The idea is to do one thing, and that is to push this idea that, look, we live in a race country. These people are racist. These places that are not like New York, that are not like California, you know, L.A., San Francisco, you know, where the elites live, Boston, you know, these major cities, Chicago, that these elites, that's where these people are enlightened. These other places, which a lot of liberals refer to are, you know, these elites call flyover country. Nobody really goes there. They're back alleys, backwoods, you know, they're backward thinkers. They love, the elite media likes exposing these people and exposing them for who it is that they are. And I love to thank them.
But is it the media that is exposing them for who they are, or they are the ones that are exposing them for who they are?
Well, no, you have to. Well, no, that's not true, because this in this particular case, Mary, you have to be honest that this is a woman who is sitting in a restaurant having a meal. And these are people inside a restaurant having a meal who think that what they're saying, well, they're just having conversations with people.
But you can't say it in public.
They said it in public, but they didn't think that they would be made ridicule of. And that's what it is to point out that they were racist. I've got no problem with you being a racist if you're a racist. If you do something racist to me, that's have an issue. But your own personal views, that's your own personal views. I don't have an issue with that. So in watching this, I wanted to make sure that I taped it. And I wanted to, I just had to do this.
Sugar Honey Macy is hilarious, but sit down. If you drink, take a sip. Is this funny?
Listen to the show.
It's one of the biggest, sometimes scariest moments in a young couple's life, when they meet the parents. But here in rural Brigham City, how much tolerance will there be for a different kind of couple? In 2012, what says family here at J&D's Family Restaurant?
If you're white, you're white. If you're colored, you go with colored people.
In this small town, population less than 20,000, there are some big opinions about interracial relationships. And the target of those barbs? This couple. It's breakfast time, and as folks come together, this family is about to get an addition, her new boyfriend.
I'm so excited for you to meet Carlton.
I am excited, too.
But he isn't quite what Dad had in mind.
Wow. Nothing like I expected. You didn't tell me he was black. He was black.
But this man really isn't racist.
What's wrong, Dad?
And these two aren't really a couple.
Hi, I'm Olivia Offler.
They're actors hired by us to portray a very touchy scenario.
All right, everyone, we are rolling.
Our hidden cameras are rolling, and back inside, people are clearly paying attention.
You can't marry a black guy. What's the matter with you?
Dad, stop it.
How did you even get into my daughter's school? A basketball scholarship?
Absolutely no.
10 minutes go by, and so far, everyone remains quiet until...
This is just... Not a chance. Not a chance.
When the dad departs, this man speaks up.
Speak up for myself. What do you think I should do?
Letting it cool off. But this next man isn't about to cool off.
How'd you grow up? How did I grow up? Yeah, you're a single mom?
As dad heats up, so does he.
What about the gangs? You have absolutely no idea what you're messing with right now. It's not natural.
Oh, wait, what? Hold on here. Watch this.
I don't know a thing about this guy, but I've really talked to him about my neck not as long as I'm good.
Am I talking to you? I'm sitting with my daughter.
I don't get it. What's your issue? What's about you to sit here and listen to my gracious father?
What?
He's another person.
How you doing, sir? It turns out it's Jason Clark's 40th birthday. But his reaction is really what's worth celebrating.
This is part of a TV show.
Are you
kidding me? Oh, no, it's not.
It's not something that is common. And I probably grew up a little bit with my view maybe a little bit the other way.
What changed your view?
Love experience.
Well, I mean, is that why you're so upset? I mean,
we're about to see something that makes our actors almost lose control.
I mean, I appreciate it.
Let her talk.
I was on the cliff there for a minute. I was getting emotional.
Inside, you were dying.
I was just really shocked.
I was raised knowing that this stuff would happen, and it's happened before.
And you're about to find out why. Meet these two women.
Hey! This is Carlton. This is my dad, Jeff.
I'm Carlton, Jeff. Nice to meet you, too. I just don't like what I'm seeing here.
As our actors battle it out, folks can't help but overhear.
Sir, with all due respect, this is a new era.
But whose side are they on? We find out when we tell our couple to leave.
I don't care what you say.
Hello?
No, I don't care.
No sooner are they out the door.
Oh, God.
I am with you.
Thank you.
I think they should stay with them.
And they unleash.
I mean, you see where I'm coming from, right? I mean...
Oh, I do. Yeah, I'm sorry.
This woman is brought to tears.
Seriously, what do I do? I don't...
It was me. I was done with Jane.
Really?
And we're not sure why until she says this.
I have a daughter, so she has a friend that cries.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, he's trying to be friends. He wasn't ever going to get involved again. I'm not a friend,
and they were just friends, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wanted to cry.
Yeah.
Right.
You
know?
Back in the control room, we're watching it unfold.
He has made me cry to think a pretty girl like her takes her to place.
Ooh.
I mean, most of your nice young men, but they stay with their own.
Am I wrong? I mean, am I wrong to think this?
No.
I'm trying to be a good dad.
I swear. I was so glad on you, the humor. Because that's a shock to anybody.
But not everyone at the table agrees.
All I'm saying, if they're in love, you have no chance. Okay?
Besides, and yet, undeterred, she keeps firing.
When I left the door, I said, look beautiful, he's too bad. I don't agree with it. Every time I see it, I want to scream.
Are you going to want to break your
mind? She's crying. Yeah, no. Beginning of the scene.
Time to meet these very outspoken women.
You've done the right thing.
Are you ready? Hi, ma'am. How are you? I'm John Quinones. I'm a reporter with ABC.
Hello, Bobby.
Hey, you're a famous reporter. What are you doing here?
They were actors.
These two were actors?
And so was the father, yes. Now, you told them if they're in love, there's nothing you can do.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't quite agree with them.
I'm sorry. If you're white, you're white. If you're colored, you go with colored people and keep it in your family. Don't put it in somebody else's.
You feel that strongly about this?
I've got a lot of friends
that are black. But I just feel like when you get married, you marry into the same as you are. Not spreading. I'm a person who loves children. And when their little children go to school, they get beat down every time. Get beat up and every, oh, you're half black, you're this. And I don't like that. It's all right if you're a Mexican person. They're still white people. But black people and white people, no. I'm sorry.
It breaks my heart.
I'm Mexican, so I would be okay.
Oh, you'd be okay. I'd marry you in a minute.
And what about the woman who was brought to tears at the very thought of her daughter being in an interracial relationship?
You know, back in the old days, you know, that just was a thing, and so it's a new thing now, and I think it's okay, but I don't know. I guess I
not for your family.
Not for my family. You know, but I love them. I think they're wonderful people.
After all is said and done, we introduce them to our actors.
You know, but I just think we should stay with our own, don't you?
I don't necessarily agree, but everyone's entitled to their opinion, you know?
But I wouldn't be mean to anybody.
It's a stark contrast from earlier in the day. What?
So the breakdown. It's Reese on the radio. So the breakdown is, which is why I knew you were going to love this, JC. The older white woman, and please watch the video. It's the last segment of last week's episode. It came out on Friday. It's the last segment. And, of course, you know, they go into Mormonism because they're in Salt Lake City, Utah. You know, and they're talking about homosexuality, of course, because they're in Salt Lake City, Utah. And again, it's another opportunity to talk about how backwards these small towns are compared to the rest of the elite, world. Well, no, this
you,
is Salt Lake.
Weird.
What's
you
that?
You can't hate her. You know, as much as you want to sit back and yell and scream, she's a racist and want to hate her, you got to love her.
Oh, my God.
You got to love her because...
Can I tell you, J.C.?
Before you even finish, can I tell you something? That is the exact same thing that Reese said. Like, when we watched this, I was hysterical. I could not believe that this woman was saying that. We were both sitting here hysterical. But the reason I was hysterical was not the reason he was hysterical, and your reasoning is the same as his.
Yeah, JC and I have the same reasoning about this. It's that you
about a lot of stuff.
You can't hate this woman for what it is that she says, even though she backpedals a little bit, but she clearly just says, you know, my favorite part about all of that is Mexican. They're just the same as white.
And you know what? They'd shoot you for calling them white.
You cannot ever refer to them as white. But
they
she said,
gringos.
She said, Mexicans are just like whites.
They're the same
as whites. But black people, complete contrast.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't hate her for it. You got to love her for it because her emotions are... Her views are skewed, but for all the right reasons.
Whoa, really? You're going to have to elaborate on that one.
Well, just about the kids get to go to school, get beat up, be called this and that and the other. Now, for her not wanting to see the kids go through that, that's understood. That's for all the right reasons. But her views are still very skewed.
But if
schools our kids going through that, I mean our kids.
We got to remember. She's an old lady. Back in her time, when that went down, the kids got called zebras.
Yeah, but obviously she hasn't been in a school in a long time. I mean, she is old.
I'm going to have to...
She's old.
I'm going to have to agree with JC on this one. Let me tell you why. You know why?
It's so mind-boggling.
No. Here's why I'm agreeing with him.
Why?
Because it happened to Caleb. It happened to my son.
Really?
Yep. 2007, the reason why he ended up moving in with me. I'll never forget it. Months before he moved in with me in October of 2007, right before I was going into Boston. Moved in with me 2 weeks after Labor Day. He had gotten to a fight while he was riding on the bus in North Carolina, and one of the kids called him the N-word. One of the kids called him that, and in fact, in North Carolina, he had dealt with constant comments about him being half black. It was bad enough that his mother was Jewish, but the fact that he was half black, he dealt with that. That's 2007. I mean, come on, that's not a long time ago. And there are a lot of, exactly, they consider you a minority. But again, remember, if his mother had just been Jewish, his father had just been Jewish, nobody would have ever known outside of what they consider stereotypical features. But they knew he was part black. They could see it in his blondish, sort of kinky hair. He had what most Jews would refer to as the Jewish Afro. Seth Rogen, the actor, refers to his Afro as the Jewish Afro. And he got ridiculed for that because people could tell that he had black features. And he was very light-skinned. He's as pale as you. And people call... He is. He's as pale as you. But people could see that he had black features. And they would rip on him all the time. And he went through it often. And I can see where this woman makes that claim about she doesn't like kids not going through. It's bad enough that kids go through enough what's called high school angst or teenage angst that this was just another added problem that young people had to go through, and that bothers her. That upsets her.
My kids went through the same deal. Modern adults, when they see mixed kids, they think that, oh, they're so beautiful.
Right, exactly.
And generally they are.
Right. People who are in most urban neighborhoods see a mixed kid. They see them as beautiful. Oh, look, it's a mixed child. They're beautiful, Asian and black. I mean, look at Kobe Bryant.
They're beautifully cosmetically. But my son went through the craziest identity crisis I've ever seen anyone go through. From the time he was 9 years old up until the time he was about maybe probably 16, trying to please both sides of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
My son was a skater in hip hop clothing. My son wore.
Don't you think that any kid nowadays goes
mohawks, spike colored mohawks.
Listen.
With Timberlands.
JC, don't you think that any kids nowadays go through that, whether they're mixed or they're not? Because so many kids nowadays...
My son didn't know who to identify with.
Well, you identify with you. You don't identify
with... And he
with
went back... Me. Well, you know what? That's just right? It now. That's the one thing I love about him now is that he does him. He does him. He doesn't care
yeah,
what
and
I...
It's, right, JC.
Identify with either side.
JC, hold on. JC...
Yeah.
But JC is making a very valid point. What he's saying that his son, of course, had to grow and develop with that. I think the strong point that this woman's making in this piece is saying that some kids don't know where to go. JC has obviously articulated that, was that, you know, kids are people who aim to please. Like, they're, you know, they aim to please. They have friends. They want to fit in. You know, this is something
right.
Added. No. It's all kids from every background. This is true. This is true.
And especially if your kid's not a leader. And my son's a follower. Always has been.
Right. And again, kids who are...
But that's what followers... You just made my point. That's... Okay. It's all because... Not because he's mixed or whatever. All kids go through that. Kids are followers. They're leaders. Some are just drag along. Some are, you know, whatever. We're all like that. We all go through that stage in our life. I don't...
Yeah, but I think it's a little more difficult when you're a follower of mixed race.
Yeah, I again...
Especially, I don't mean to cut you off, Reese, especially when you live in a very diverse situation he grew up in suburban Hartford, and half the school is a pretty good mix, East Hartford. It's 60-40.
Right.
That's a great.
But you know what? Some people are under the guise that because we see so many mixed kids in certain environments, that this shouldn't be an issue elsewhere. And a place like Salt Lake City, Utah, in Wyoming, maybe even Montana, you know, Missouri, there might not be that many people out there, and that some of those people can be socially outcast because they're different. I think from this perspective, and I see where JC's coming, where he can't be mad at this woman for that, because she's coming from that perspective that says, look, that might be happening in your town, but that's not common around here. And people look at that, at that sort of new thing, or whether or not the world is changing, and they're going, look, that may be changing in every other city in the world where there are more mixes of people where everyone's dating whoever it is they're dating. But around here, it's a little hard for them to deal with. But see, in areas where there are larger black populations or larger minority populations, if your population of minorities exceeds numbers like 15-20% in percentile, like the DMV, you have a lot of blacks in Virginia, a lot of blacks in Delaware, a lot of blacks in Maryland, a lot of blacks in D.C., you have a lot of mixed groups in those areas, and people just date whomever, and it's not really frowned upon. But then you go into these areas where it's 0.1% black or 0.2% Latino or 0.1% Asian, and then somebody dates outside their race in those areas where it's a majority white, some people are going to say, look, that's not common around here. You just want the white people dating white people. When one white person dates outside their race or a black person dates outside their race, that particular group has a tendency. Yeah, there goes whole little neighborhood. And they are focused upon.
And not only that, let me make this point as well. I wasn't aware they were in Salt Lake City. I don't care who you are in Salt Lake City. If you're a white American in Salt Lake City, somewhere in your family ties, especially in her being a senior citizen, somewhere in her family ties, there I'm sure the Mormon faith lies. Whether it's the faith that they follow now or not, they were also brought up with the Mormon faith and the Mormon doctrine, which basically, and it didn't necessarily, well, I guess it did to a degree, frown upon African-Americans.
Yeah.
Which is why African-Americans up until, was it 1977, was it? Or even maybe a little earlier than that, weren't even allowed to be clergy and their faith. Because of how they looked at African Americans, or anyone with dark skin, that they considered, according to their doctrine, they're considered cursed.
It's still just so strange to me. I understand both of your points, but for me, it's like,
and especially
so
for her being an old lady.
But see,
you know,
that's Mary. That's
never had to. I mean, I've dealt with racism. I've dealt with people being, you know, white people saying things about me, black people saying things about me, whatever. You know, I'm loved or I'm hated. It's one or the other. So, but it's just unfathomable to me to even think like that about another human being. This isn't about color. This isn't about race.
But she made it about color. I think she made it clear that it was about color, that they weren't. It's not about that they're bad people. It's just a color issue with her.
And her thing is, it's not that she disliked black people. She just believed that blacks should be with blacks, whites should be with whites.
Yeah.
Any educated person. Okay, listen.
And she didn't have
black
a problem with it.
Black people have the skin color that they have because there is more pigmentation in the skin than white people.
But I will tell you this, though.
It's a biological thing. It's not as freaking disease.
Yeah, no. But I will say that. But see, what also she says in that audio, what she does say in that audio, JC, she says,
she said,
why would she want to be with something like that? Now that was flat. That was flat out racist.
Well, that's from her Mormon upbringing, her Mormon ties, and her bloodlines.
I
mean, Salt Lake City, wasn't it founded by the Mormons?
Not necessarily.
JC, when you watch the video, the men just kind of sit there
and let the women go under attack. They don't need, they're just kind of like, I'm not even with her. This is just an empty spot at the booth. And I'm not even.
If he took that shirt off, that said, I'm with stupid, and turned it inside out, right?
You know what?
Hold up.
But there's an interesting dynamic about this, and I want to go into this a little deeper after we come back from the break at the top of the hour. There's an interesting dynamic about this, was that the white guys stood up for love and stood up for the respect, but it was the women who were against the black man. And that is a very interesting dynamic that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to. In fact, we don't even have to wait. Let me just say this. It is often promoted amongst groups that it's the white man who's the most racist. But I think these women sort of rival that, or it sort of flies in the face of that of that cliche, so to speak.
On race and things, you know, intermixing races or whatever, are so far behind, yet they're sitting somewhere that still holds these values so far behind. Now, back in those days, a woman wouldn't just sit around and start yapping her jaw off without her husband or her man being like,
mind your business.
You can do, it's okay, you know. But the men sit there more domiciled.
Yeah, wasn't that weird?
It was very.
That was weird. The men were much more quiet around their women.
Stone Age views on interracial dating or whatever, yet you're sitting here just going off at the mouth, like, and your men are sitting there like, okay, like.
I have to tell you this though. Let me tell you the reason why those women spoke up. You want to know why those women were against that interracial? Wait, let me just.
My husband or my man, and he did not stick up for me. We would have a problem.
Listen, let me tell you why those women said what they said. Do you want to know why? Let me tell you why those women said what they said.
Why?
If there's one thing that I know about women, women are concerned with social circles. Their girlfriends, their friends, the women they go to church with. JC, you're going to have to back me up on this because you'll hear exactly where it is that I'm coming from. Women are so worried about their own personal image, Those two older women, the reason why they didn't want their daughters to be bringing a black man into their house is because if they get married and they have a baby and that mixed race child has to come visit grandma and grandpa, and grandma's got to go out to church on Sunday, grandma's got to go out to the bingo hall, and she's toting around that little half-breed child, all the ladies in their little social circle, their little sewing circle, they're going to be talking about them. Did you hear about Mabel's daughter? Yeah, married a black guy. Uh-huh. Mabel was walking through church with the little half-breed. It will ruin her social standing. That's the reason why those women spoke up.
Don't want any little nigglets running around in their family.
That is so true.
They can no longer say that old joke. Yeah, I got niggers in my family, but in my family tree, and they're still out there hanging. No longer no good.
Wow, that was vicious. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the new Saul Alinsky posted up just released by Breitbart. So Barack Obama on the top on the date. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb in Sweden's white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Naga da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. We are Reese on the radio this March 5th, 2012. Got court tomorrow. We'll get into that. Oh, yeah, Wednesday. I apologize. We'll get into that. The number is 347-308-8701. I will be in the city tomorrow. I'll be back in New York City tomorrow going in. I'll be at my sister's. We'll probably do the show from there. This actually is a story that just came over the wire. I just read this recently. The woman who's been a part of this huge controversy with Rush Limbaugh, with him referring to her or asking the question about whether or not she's a slut or a prostitute. The story says Sandra Fluke is being sold by the left as something she's not, namely a random co-ed from Georgetown Law who found herself mixed up in the latest front of the culture war, who was simply looking to make sure needy women had access to birth control. That, of course, is not the case. As many have already uncovered, Sandra Fluke, she is, in reality, a 30-year-old longtime liberal activist who enrolled in Georgetown with the express purpose of fighting for the school to pay for students' birth control. She has also been pushing to mandate coverage of contraceptives at Georgetown for at least 3 years, according to the Washington Post. However, as I discovered today, and I, meaning, who is the writer, Stephen Gutowski, however, as I discovered today, birth control is not all that Ms. Fluke believes private health insurance must cover. She also apparently believes that it is discrimination deserving of legal action if gender reassignment surgeries are not covered by employers' provided health insurance. She makes these views clear in an article she co-edited with Karen Hu in the Georgetown Journal of Gender and the Law. The title of the article, which can be purchased in full here, is Employment Discrimination Against LGBTQ Persons, and was published in the journal's 2011 annual review. I posted a transcript of the section I will be quoting from here. In a subsection of the article entitled Employment Discrimination in Provision of Employment Benefits, starting on page 635 of the review, Sandra Fluke and her co-author describe two forms of discrimination and benefits they believe the LGBTQ individuals face in the workplace. Quote, discrimination typically takes two forms. First, direct discrimination, limiting access to benefits specifically needed by LGBTQ persons. And secondly, the unavailability of family-related benefits to the LGBTQ families. Their prime example of the first form of discrimination, not covering sex change operations. Quote, a prime example of direct discrimination is denying insurance coverage for medical needs of transgender persons physically transitioning to the other gender. This so-called prime example of discrimination is expounded on the subsection titled Gender Reassignment Medical Services, starting on page 636. Quote, transgender persons wishing to undergo the gender reassignment process frequently face heterocyst employer health insurance policies that label the surgery as cosmetic or medically unnecessary and therefore uncovered. To be clear, the argument here is that employers are engaging in discrimination against their employees who want them to pay for their sex change because of their heterosexist health insurance policies. Don't believe sex changes are medically necessary. Additionally, Sandra Flock and her co-editor have an answer for why exactly these heterosexist insurance policies and the courts that side with them deem sex changes as medically unnecessary. She wrote, quote, in Mario V. PC Food Markets Incorporated, an employee who was denied such coverage brought claims under the Federal Employment Retirement Insurance Security, ERISA, and Title VII. The court rejected the ERISA claim, finding the plaintiff's mastectomy and hormone therapy were not medically necessary. The court's ruling was based upon controversy within the medical community regarding that treatment plan. Much of the controversy has been linked to ignorance and bias against transgender persons, and the American Medical Association has declared the lack of coverage to be discrimination. You see, all opposition to the discrimination that sex changes are medically necessary and therefore must be covered by private employer-provided health insurance is based on ignorance and bias against transgender persons. The section on discrimination against those seeking gender reassignment ends with Sandra Flock and her co-editor wondering why more lawsuits aren't filed against private employers on these grounds, especially in comparison to the frequency which these types of cases filed against Medicare, Medicaid, and even the prison system. Yes, that's right. Sandra Flock wants people in prison to be able to get surgery to change their gender, and it should be covered by the federal government and employers.
Who wrote this report? This is a great report. We have to check and see.
Wow.
So she's nothing. Again, didn't I say she was a hack at the beginning of the show, JC?
Yeah, she is. Not.
If this alleged information is true and correct,
well,
Barack Obama,
he's going to look like a moron. He's going to look like a moron. Because, but see,
I don't care if people are okay with same-sex marriage. I don't care if Republicans are, liberals are, whatever. There's not a lot of folks that are in agreement with changing your no-no spots.
Well,
and they sure as hell ain't paying. They're not working every day so that you can change your to a it's not happening.
This was another case. So now, just to give you a little bit of background, Daryl Issa, who's a Republican from California, he's the one who's also holding, and we talked about it, he's the one holding the Fast and Furious hearings in Washington. You know, we talked about that. So Daryl Issa, when Jake Tapper says that Daryl Issa didn't invite any women to that congressional hearing, the truth is that Daryl Issa knew that Sandra Flock wanted to testify at that hearing. So he said, no, we have not vetted her, because we are going to be talking to professionals. Daryl Issa was holding a hearing with religious leaders and why they did not think that this mandate by Obama was constitutional. How can you force religious institutions to give contraception and us pay for it? We don't think that this... And so all these people who were supposed to be on this hearing were vetted. Sandra Fluck was a person that the Democratic Party put out there, and they said Daryl Issa should actually talk to her so she can counter their position. So Daryl Issa didn't say, we don't want women to be there, so we don't know who this woman is. We don't know what her expertise are. We don't know what she's done. We don't know who, you know, what research she's done, and whether or not her research in any way whatsoever has been, you know, confirmed. So we don't know what to ask her. We can't counter anything she claims because we have no background on her. So she wasn't allowed to speak. So when everyone found out it was a woman that wasn't allowed to speak, oh, they, again, forcing a narrative. Only men were allowed to speak, no women. So women got up in protest. So that's why they had this private press conference with Sandra Fluck, which of course has started the entire controversy. But if they, you know, if you don't know that, you can listen to it as far as Jake Tapper tells it, and that is Sandra Fluck wasn't allowed to speak. Well, she wasn't just not allowed to speak, it's just like she wasn't vetted. How do we know that you know, we're talking to people who we know are going to, we can ask questions to, we can counter their opinion, people will know who they are. So, again, just another, of course, bombshell in stupid policy by the Obama administration. To go further, yeah, it is a huge bombshell. Anyway, if you go to Breitbart.tv, you'll see a link called The Vetting, Part 1, Barack's Love Song to Alinsky. According to the story, a poster that was posted in Chicago has now come to light that Barack Obama was a part of a panel discussion in 1998 when he was just a state senator, where Barack Obama is a part of a discussion after a play called A Love Song to Saul Alinsky. And for those people who know who Saul Alinsky is that he is a radical leftist and a Marxist. He pretty much believes in communism. And then-Senator Barack Obama was a part of a panel in 1998 to have a discussion after the play to talk about the role of Saul Alinsky. So as many people have been arguing over and over again, that Barack Obama doesn't believe in the policies of Saul Alinsky. He's not a socialist. He's not a radical, you know. But every indication about Barack Obama, from Audacity to Hope, Dreams of My Father, have all proven that his policies are, but they've been completely ignored. Now, this poster coming out, Love Song to Saul Alinsky, which is a positive portrayal of Saul Alinsky. I mean, you see the picture there, Mary. There is a picture of Saul Alinsky. It's a portrait, if you will. And you go to the full screen, which I have, and you scroll down all the way to the bottom, and it says Special Sunday Post-Show Discussions, and the panelists include some Tamil Black and Leon Desbries and Monsignor, I guess, and Jack Egan, Aaron Friedman, Robert Lynch, Senator Barack Obama.
Yeah, but why does that see how this says that's B-E-R-K-A?
Well, that was because at that particular time, it's actually Barack Obama, which they, again, were spelling his name wrong. Well, the people at that time, they didn't know the exact spelling of his name. He was then just State Senator Obama.
You can't say that that's really Barack Obama.
Anyway, it says, it's red and it's right there, like a darkening water that swirls down Janet Leigh's drain in the Psycho famous shower scene. Is plenty suggestive. It touts a play called A Love Song to Saul Alinsky. Alinsky being
You cannot tell me that spelling of that name, oh, these people put that out, he was a senator at the time.
He was a state senator at the time.
State senator, and they still don't know how to spell his name
properly? Again, no, that's them.
Come on now.
Anyway.
No. Hold on.
It touts a play called The Love Song of Saul Alinsky, Alinsky being a notorious community organizer from Chicago who wrote the books with titles like Revel for Radicals and Rules for Radicals. On it, fists are raised, meaning insurrection is in the air. And down at the very bottom, crawling across the poster in small print, it mentions the panel discussion that will follow the Sunday performances. The panelists are that era's usual progressive suspects, Leon DePress, Monsignor Jack Egan, Studs Terkel, and State Senator Barack Obama. Miter obscured the truth. His article only reveals only a small portion of the poster. Here's the whole poster.
Now, how come this is spelled correctly?
Well, everybody knew that it was him because he did actually take part in the discussion. Everybody knows he did, but no one covered it. And in fact, one person went so far. Hold on. If you don't believe that, here's the press release. Here's the press release of those who attend.
Senator Barack Obama.
Exactly.
Where the hell did Barack come from?
I don't know. B-A-R-A. Is there another Senator Barack Obama that was in Illinois? State Senator Barack Obama? Was there another?
Let's look it up.
JC, could you please? Because you don't believe that it's him.
I'm not saying I don't believe that it's him, but I don't believe that they could have spelt the freaking senator's name wrong. Or is that the correct spelling? And then the rest of us think that it's B-A-R-A-C-K.
Listen, his mama called him Barry. Mama called him Barry.
He said his mama gonna call him Barry. I'm gonna call him Barry.
Mama named him Barry.
His mama didn't name him Barry. In fact, if you read another great book, which is called because I read the book. It's Understanding Obama's Dream, written by DeSue Souza. If you actually break that down, Barack calls himself Barry in school, and another African at his school tells him that he needs to take his father's name and stop shunning away from his father. And so it's actually he had been calling himself Barry because he wouldn't even take his father's name. So it was another African who actually told him.
Baraka.
It may have been. It may have been Barack Obama. Nobody knows.
Well, we need to find out.
Well, we will look it up.
Start saying that is indeed the truth.
Well, I'm telling you, I know he was there. That's all I needed to know.
I can't confirm with that.
By the way, speaking of Sandra Fluck, as we did earlier, I just got news from Neg. Neg says that one affiliate in Hawaii and another one in Western Massachusetts, Pittsfield, to be exact, have dropped Rush Limbaugh's show so far. So there are two more people who've come forward and have dropped Rush Limbaugh's show. Which again, look, as I said, a dozen times, is absolutely insane. You know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, a St. Petersburg bar is denying drink specials for particular women, and it's creating an uproar. When we come back, we'll find out exactly who those women are, and we'll discuss it. I'll give you a hint.
Where's the runway?
We'll be back. It's Reese on the radio. Oh, they don't want them to have their free drinks.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back. 23 minutes after the hour here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. The number is 347-308-8701. Ooh, Sazone, baby. I'll talk about that later. Anyway, log on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. Send us an email at ReeseOnTheRadio@yahoo.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just go to Reese on the Radio. And we're Reese on Radio on Twitter. And like I said, I'll be in New York tomorrow afternoon. I'll be doing a show from New York City. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, not important. You know, we've been going into this whole transgender thing. And, you know, I knew this was going to be a problem. I saw a lawsuit a couple of years ago. And this guy had filed... He filed a lawsuit against Ladies' Night because he said it was discrimination. Now, I knew I was going to get that reaction from him. So this guy had filed a lawsuit and said that it was discriminatory for bars and clubs to have a ladies' night. Ladies getting free drink because of their gender as a form of discrimination. You don't have guys' nights. You don't do that kind of stuff. Why would you have a ladies' night? And look, it was a valid argument, you know, because it's, you know, if we're going to use the word discrimination, look, we use that word often when it comes to women. If the guys were receiving preferential treatment, the women would have been, you know, they would have been uproared. Yeah, I see, again, but see, this is where you have to talk about what's fair.
You can't be serious with this one.
Look, I'm just...
Reese?
I'm listening, JC. What do you mean you think I'm crazy about this? I'm not agreeing with the fact that he should sue, but he makes a valid point.
If he wants guys' night, tell him to go to the Blue Oyster.
I knew you'd say that, too. Which, again, brings my point. See, this is exactly where I'm going. Look, he makes a valid argument. Look, if it were the other way around, women would complain. So he felt he had a right to complain, and I agree. He had a right to complain. So,
and I agree they should have guys' night. Cause, I mean, it depends on what the ratio of women to men are where he lives. I know here in Connecticut, it's like six women to one man. And we have ladies' night here because you let the ladies in free, then the guys are going to pay to come in, and they're going to flock in there because they want to get with the women.
But see, again, it's not discrimination in a private business. This is the reason why the lawsuit had to be thrown out. A private business can choose whomever he wants to let in, right or wrong. It's constitutional. If he says that he wants the ladies to get in free, that's his right. That's his right.
He's already wrote rules.
That's his right to lose money at the door by letting people in based upon their gender. That's his right as a private citizen and a private business owner.
Velvet rope rules.
Right.
Little one you want.
Which brings me to this story. According to the CBS in St. Petersburg, Florida, there is now an argument. Let me just read what it says. A St. Petersburg bar landed in hot water recently after a transgender woman was told she could not receive a discounted drink on ladies' night. The bar, which is called the Bishop Tavern and Lounge, was quick to apologize on its Facebook page after a protest group formed on the social network site said that, you know, they were upset. Recently, a concern was raised about how a transgender customer was treated here. We would like to sincerely apologize for this, they said on their Facebook page. Bishop strives on being one of St. Petersburg's premier nightlife destinations for everyone, without prejudice. We really appreciate the fact that we live in such a diverse community. According to the Tampa Bay Times, the problems began when a patron by the name of Alex Borrego, went to Bishop with several friends, including three female-to-male transgender persons and a drag queen. Though Borrego was initially offered discounted beverages as part of the bar's promotion, a bouncer came over and told them that they were cut off from the deals because they were dudes. Quote, unquote. The driver's license lists her as a female, but showing her ID did not help her cause. Eventually, the group left. Legally, I'm a woman, she told the Times. And to deny me to participate in ladies' night, that's very disrespectful. Not long after, Borrego and her friends initiated an online protest of the establishment. The apology issued by the bar seemed to modify much of the protesting community. Thank you for the apology and your willingness to embrace change and equality, read one comment. I'm glad the situation got dealt with quickly enough, said. Obviously, a member of the LGBT community and I go to Bishop's often, so when I heard of this, I was more than shocked as I've never been bothered or told I couldn't partake in ladies' night being a butch. I'm glad now I don't have to avoid going to Bishop's. So they won. And now look, I've got one view on this. And one view is this. Look, I'm a guy. I am not so desperate for free drinks that I'm going to dress up like a woman. And if you go out of your way to put silicone in your chest, to put on some high heels and a short miniskirt and go traipsing into public looking like your sister, you deserve a free drink. You deserve a discounted beverage. You deserve it. If you are willing to go out in public and look that way, and that is how you feel comfortable, you've earned it. Give them the drink, boss. Give them the drink. If I was working by, if this one had a full-on Malcolm Jamal Warner beard, shaved and lined, and you came up to my bar and said, "Hey, bud, let me get a Shirley Temple." Whatever. It's on that.
An apple martini.
Speaking of apple martini, you got it, Toots. Without a doubt.
But I would not give. I would not give him the satisfaction of making him a nice stiff drink.
You would not give this shim herm. You would not give them a stiff drink.
She dingo. This mangina.
Yeah, but look, I understand that there are communities out there that appreciate this and accept it. You know, okay, fine. You know, protesting the bar. Look, if they allow these people in there and it's kind of that sort of.
No. You're not going to call them these people. I stand up for these people.
You're standing up for these people?
Of course.
And please tell me why you're standing up for them, JC.
You have just as much right as anyone else.
I guess they do.
They're people.
Yeah, I know. But the bouncer walked up to him and said, "Hey, you can't get a half price drink there. You're a dude." And this one, Harvey, pulls out the angel, whatever his name is. He pulls out a license that says he's abroad. Now, how did he get away with that? How did he get away with that? How did he get a license that shows him he's a girl? It doesn't. Yeah, sex change.
Listen,
doesn't.
Florida does. Florida never gets it right. I mean, look where the incident took place. They
yeah.
seal up elections. They release Casey Anthony. Come on.
So now
in Florida, we're talking.
They release Casey Anthony.
Well, yeah, they freed her.
What's wrong with the water, right?
Yeah, the water.
Yeah, you would think there's something wrong with the water there.
And here I am stuck in Connecticut with the dumbest laws in the world, and they stick to them, and they prosecute you to the fullest extent of the laws.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, Florida's the opposite of Connecticut.
Oh, you think what? You think it's the opposite of Connecticut?
The bipolar opposite. Yeah.
I don't think it's that bad.
Atlanta's like New York. And, well, I guess.
I don't think it's that.
Anything else?
No, there's nothing else to this story. I was just letting you finish. I just figured I'd let you finish off.
I wonder if Barack's nanny could get a drink.
Yeah, you know what? You know, you talked about that story before, but, you know, I'm going to have to. And you said there's video of this?
Yeah.
So explain this to me so that I can understand.
If I'm not mistaken, let me just pull it up real quick. Takes me 1 second. I got my high speed at work.
Okay.
It stated that Barack's nanny
Mm-hmm.
Where is the story? They move things. That's the one. I love Drudge Report. I wish they would keep stuff where they had it.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more.
Barack's nanny, transgender.
Now, which nanny was this? Is this a nanny that was his nanny in Hawaii?
Well, I guess when he was a kid.
See, because I saw that as well, and I saw a picture of this woman, or man, or whatever, and I wasn't sure whether or not there was... I don't know. I don't remember exactly, you know, where what the story was saying, but it's I just remember I saw a picture that somebody was transgender. The best that I can say.
Yeah, there's Danny who used to drive him to school, took care of him when he was a kid. Said that she can't believe she was a foreigner as well. I don't know where she was from, but stated that she can't believe that the person that she took care of as a baby would grow up to be the most powerful man in the world.
Ugh. That's just scary.
Oh, here it is. Barack Obama's... let the page load. Barack Obama's transgender nanny living in the slums of Jakarta.
Really?
She was born as a man but believes she is really a woman has endured a lifetime of taunts because of her identity. Mm-hmm. Yes, Barack's mom used to tell her to grow, keep and grow her hair long. She's like
now,
a little Jakarta man to me.
So wait. So if it's Jakarta, that means that this is the nanny when Obama was in Indonesia.
How old was he then? Where the hell is this man from?
Listen, he lived in Indonesia when he was 7 years old. And he has an Indonesian stepsister.
Does he?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, Barack Obama's got a brother who still lives in Kenya.
His papa was a Rolling Stone.
Apparently.
And they're not even halves because they, according to the world, they have the same father. It's, mm-hmm. it's when you have the same mother
and different fathers,
they're your halves.
Stepsister is his stepsister from his mother and his stepfather.
Right.
That's his...
His half-sister.
Right, that's his half-sister.
I'm linking you to the video now. The video is actually in USA Today.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta look at it myself then.
Of this fellow who nannied Barack.
Yeah, I gotta read this story. All right, let's take a
read
break.
Read it.
Let's take a break. Barack. We'll be right back. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reset Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, And I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the fucking ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out. Because he was Chinese. I was like, why is he talking like that? He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't need to talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got five black... Hello?"
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
It's on the radio. We're back 42 minutes after the hour on this March the 5th, 2012. Anyway, like I already told everybody, I'll be in New York tomorrow. We'll do the show. Then we're probably going to play Best Of on Wednesday. I got to travel back to the D.C. area, so it's going to be impossible for me to do the show. But whatever, we'll keep you informed. We'll see what it is to do. But anyway, we'll see what it, look, we'll talk about it later. Anyway, point of the matter is, I was actually looking at this link that JC just sent me about the transgender nanny. I didn't know he had a transgender nanny in Indonesia, JC. Evie is their name. Apparently.
Is her name.
Yeah. Evie, who was born a man but believes she is really a woman, has endured a lifetime of taunts and beatings because of her identity. She describes how soldiers once shaved her long black hair to the scalp and smashed out glowing cigarettes into her hands and arms. Now, that's just vicious. The turning point
came
when she
found... Sounds like a night out at a local strip club here.
What's that?
Sounds like a night out at the Gold Club.
Yeah, you're funny. Anyway, yeah, so I wonder why these people who were so important to him or somewhat relevant to him, why doesn't he get them out of these horrible situations? I mean, he can't get this poor woman, man, out of a situation where she's being tortured, for crying out loud. This is his nanny. Like, why? Who wouldn't want to help their nanny? I can't believe he had a nanny. Like, why are people talking about this guy lived in a single-parent household and was poor? He had a nanny. I don't know any single-parent households with a nanny. I don't know any. He had a nanny? I don't even want to get into all that. Anyway, hey, here's an interesting question. So everybody knows who this guy Bill Maher is, right? Everybody knows that Bill Maher has referred to Sarah Palin as a T-word, a C-word. He's even gone so far as referring to Michelle Bachmann as a bimbo. He called Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin two boobs. He even went so far as to suggest a joke about Rick Santorum, the presidential candidate, Rick Santorum's wife, using a vibrator. But what a lot of people don't know, it was a Twitter joke that he was saying that Santorum was tweeting about. He said Rick Santorum was tweeting about his wife being in the bathroom. He said, I didn't know a Lady Gillette vibrated, something like that. It was a really, really off-color joke that he did on his show.
We're talking about Bill Maher.
Yeah, Bill Maher.
And then he turned around and fell in love with the hip-hop scum of the planet.
He did. And had the nerve to have a sexual relationship with an ex-porn group.
No, he fell in love with her.
Yeah, he fell in love with her, Karen Steffens, a.k.a. Superhead.
Superhead.
Had a relationship with the... Superhead? Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was her nickname, and she was a video girl. She was in the video...
She gave herself that name.
And she gave herself that name for the act. And, and Bill Maher was involved with her and went so far as to donate $1 million to the Obama Super PAC. So now everyone's asking whether or not Obama or the campaign, for that matter, should reject the offering. I mean, if Rush Limbaugh should lose sponsors, should Barack Obama's Super PAC be getting money from a guy who's an admitted sexist?
And freak.
And freak. Well, I'm sure he's going to take it. I'm positive that they're going to act like nothing happened. But anyway, the report came from the Weekly Standard, which is a conservative magazine, so we know that no one's ever going to open their mouth about it. No one's going to say one word about it. They'll act like it never even happened.
Well, I don't understand this, and I'm having a tough time with this. And it really bothers me. Barack Obama, or any president for that matter, even George Bush, when he was president running for re-election, anything this man did or does is news. If he opens the White House windows and peek out and bask in the sun, it makes news.
Right.
Why are people donating money on a campaign for his campaign when he's already in the news for everything he does anyways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, it's...
$1 million Bill Maher is giving?
Yeah.
Do you know how many homeless shelters in a large city that would feed?
And Bill Maher doesn't care about that. He needs those
places. What the hell is wrong with this country?
Because he can complain about poor countries if he doesn't, you know, they're poor people in the country. He can complain about them as long as they stay poor, and he can blame other people for not giving that money. By the way, there's an online petition that you can be a part of. It's called the IStandWithRush.org site. It's a petition put out by MRC, the Media Research Center. The president of the Media Research Center, Brent Rozelle, has launched a new website called IStandWithRush.org. where visitors can sign a petition denouncing attempts by the radical left-wing organizations and the media to censor Rush and his common-sense conservative message. So he apologizes and they're telling people to knock it off. Also, by the way, as I've already been quoted as saying, an NBC reporter is warning Obama that the call to Sandra Fluck was an overreaching and nakedly political move.
Of course.
Yeah. This is Savannah Guthrie. The president is also in danger, perhaps, of overreaching by calling the law student. She's 30 years old. in the guise of saying, are you okay? I mean, obviously, the Democrats want to make this most of the opportunity, but to me, they seem a little nakedly political. She says, tale of two candidates. I don't think that's an overreach. No, sorry, let me just say what Murphy says. She says, and meanwhile, the Chinese graduate, the 2,000 engineers, while we're arguing about this, the whole thing is cringeworthy. Tale of two candidates. I think that's an overreach. It's a brash political move, clearly political. But look, the president, you look at Romney versus Obama on this, and the president's talking about both the appreciation for religious liberty and the reproductive health issues. No other politician in the country is doing that classical triangulation of being bold and being out front on that. Having his allies out there is an organized way. Romney, timid, not willing to repudiate Limbaugh, and not seizing the moment to talk about big issues, even though he could be focused on the economy. You can't drive the news by yourself. So pretty much NBC is just saying, hey, look, you don't want to put yourself behind this girl. You don't know what it is that you're going to get. By the way, the organization, the National Organization of Women, is saying that they want Rush Limbaugh fired for referring to this woman as a slut and prostitute. But the National Organization of Women said nothing when Ed Schultz said that Laura Ingraham was a right-wing slut. Said nothing. Did not openly speak about any of it. Well, look, they're trying to.
Try again.
Well, look, again, well, the part that I find amazing about this is that people are actually coming out and leaving, you know, canceling the show for whatever reasons. They're not carrying Rush Limbaugh. He's got 595 stations. I don't think this is going to be all that bad for him. I'm not saying that he's too big to fail, but I think in the grand scheme of things, this will only be a blip on the radar, until it blows over. I think Rush is going to be okay. Well, yeah, when her story starts to come out and people start talking about it, I think it's going to be a change of heart. I'm not saying that they shouldn't repudiate the claims. You know, look, I repudiate Rush Limbaugh, that's a strong word to do. Look, we don't like the language, that's fine. People don't like the language, that's fine. I got no issue with it. Because if the left can do it, the right should do it. And as Rush said on the show today, he feels as though he fell into the same sort of tactics that people like those on the left use. And he said, you know, he's apologized for that. So that's it. All right. Well, I've got to break out early because I've got to get out of here early. So we are I'm just going to end with my favorite audio of the day, because I've got to get my behind ready to go back to New York, which I'm leaving early in the morning. So with that being said, I'll end it with the Sandra Fluck conversation she had with The View. And I will see you guys tomorrow from New York, which I'm sure they're shooting and killing each other, because I'll be in the rough part of town. I'll just say I'll be in 50 Centville. That's all.
50 Centville?
Yes, I will. JC, do you want to say something? Do you want to add something?
50 Centville. I'm just thinking, I mean, they calmed him down when he moved to Farmington.
Who's that?
He don't give those good old boys out in Farmington no problem.
Oh, you know what? Darn it. Why did I forget this? No. I totally forgot there was something else. Mary, please, come over here. I want you to hear this. There was something else that I wanted to mention today, and I'm so angry that I forgot it. Speaking of the Rush Limbaugh thing, speaking of this Rush Limbaugh repudiation, this is what I'm talking about, the double standard, JC. You are going to be completely stunned by this. Mary, now why are you making me wait, Mary? Come on, I want you to hear this. This is important. This is a liberal. This is a liberal radio host. Now, as everybody knows, there was these big storms that went across America this past weekend. They're saying that the death toll is up to 39 people across the whole the region where all the tornadoes hit. This is radio host Mike Malloy talking about the people who lost their lives, and there's been no outcry.
their God, if this is the way they want to look at it, keeps smashing them into little grease spots on the pavement in Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas and Georgia and Oklahoma, you know, the Bible Belt, where they ain't going to let no goddamn science get in the way. It says in the Bible, blah, 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 blah. So according to their way of thinking, you know, God with his omnipotent thumb reaches down here, and so far tonight has smashed about 20 people into a grease spot on Highway 12 or whatever the hell highway they live next to. It's so sad. It's just so sad for this kind of nonsense.
And again, ripping Catholics and Christians about the Bible Belt, turning them into grease spots. And they ain't going to believe in no science. No repudiation of this. But no repudiation of that. 39 people died. By the way, there was a story about a baby that they actually found 10 miles from his home and died.
Yeah, well, this thing was like 2 football fields wide.
It was, yeah, well, some of those E4s and E5s were, yeah, they were huge.
It was we had an E2 last year in just north of Hartford in Springfield.
There's no E2,
it's an
F2.
Well, I have two.
That's what he meant to say. Anyway, here's Sandra Fluck on The View. We'll get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio.
The woman at the center of a firestorm of controversy is A View exclusive right now. On February 23rd, 30-year-old Georgetown University law student Sandra Fluck testified before Congress that the president's health care bill must include coverage of contraceptives, saying that the out-of-pocket cost is too big a financial burden for female students, and she was speaking about her own college. And last Wednesday, radio host Rush Limbaugh lashed out at her in, well, take a look at what he said.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluck, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex she can't afford the contraception. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? We're the pimps.
So what you were talking about was the fact that your own university does not include this in the health insurance, right?
Yes, I was sharing stories of women who attend my university who've been unable to access contraception as a result of the lack of insurance coverage and the types of dire medical consequences that they've suffered as a result of that. One woman lost an ovary, things like that.
Yeah. You were advocating for women.
Yes.
Sandra, when you first heard this, what did you think? Can I call you Sandra first of all?
You may, thank you. Well, initially I was, of course, shocked and stunned. I think any woman who has ever been called these types of names is at first. But then I tried to see this for what it is. And I believe that what it is an attempt to silence me, to silence the millions of women and the men who support them who have been speaking out about this issue and conveying that contraception is an important health care need that they need to have met in an affordable, accessible way.
You know, he has, as you know, has since issued an apology to you. Hasn't called you, but
no.
Okay. So I
he has not called you.
No, and let me be clear that I think his statements that he made on the air about me have been personal enough, so I'd rather not have a personal phone call from him.
With me. I mentioned it because President Obama did call. He has apologized, and I have been asked to read a statement, which he didn't give to us, but which he gave in general. For over 20 years, I've illustrated the absurd with absurdity 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. In this instant, I chose the wrong words in my analogy of the situation. I did not mean a personal attack on Ms. Fluck. I think it is absolutely absurd that during these very serious political times we are discussing personal sexual recreational activities before members of Congress. My choice of words was not the best, and in the attempt to be humorous, I created a national stir. I sincerely apologize to Ms. Flip for the insulting word choices. Do you accept his apology?
Well, let me just say this, and I encourage everyone to look at the statement in its entirety online. But what I have to say is that I don't think that a statement like this, issued saying that his choice of words was not the best, changes anything. And especially when that statement is issued when he's under significant pressure from his sponsors who have begun to pull their support from the show.
Do you think he's getting fired?
I'm going to leave that up to the sponsors, up to Clear Channel Communications, and to the members of the American public who support those companies. And what I'll just say is that Americans have a long tradition of supporting companies that share the values that they have, and I'm sure that they will continue to uphold that tradition.
What exactly did